Supervisors meeting for Tuesday, November 22nd. Would you all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, and I just want to let you folks know that in Mr. Moyer's absence, I will be taking this. He and member Susan Court are out of town due to the holiday week. Although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise such persons attending this meeting that it has been, that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. In addition, these members met in executive session. Quite frankly, we didn't talk about anything. So there's nothing to report there. Jill, would you do the roll call?
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Member John Foley?
Here. Next on our agenda is the visitor public comment. For those persons wanting to make comments, please come to the podium, state your name and address, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Very good. Seeing none, next on our agenda is the approval of meeting minutes for the public hearing of November 7th, 2016. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is the Board of Supervisors meeting for November 7th, 2016. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those minutes are approved unanimously. Under new business, A1 through 3 is the adoption of Resolution Number 1488 establishing the Board of Supervisors' regular meeting dates for the year 2017. Mrs. Henry.
These are the meeting dates set for 2017. There was a mistake on there for the April 25th. That should be Tuesday, not Monday. But if there are no other changes, we can adopt this resolution, and then we will advertise.
Very good. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that resolution is adopted. Next is B1 through 21, the authorization to accept the proposal from Herbert Roland and Grubick for the Walton Avenue Project Construction Administration and Construction Inspection associated with the short-term improvements identified in the Walton Avenue Corridor Study. Mr. Nagler.
Thank you. Well, these services are not part of the original contract. The scope amounts to $17,502. So in a sense, the funds are drawn from the unused portion of Homestead Signal DCIB loan. There's approximately $88,000 left in this loan, so we have money to cover this scope.
Very good. Are there any questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that authorization is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is C1 through 22, the preliminary final subdivision plan for the Fox Glen Drive, plat number 1268. Mr. Engel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan represents the combination of two existing lots into a single lot that will be subdivided then to create a total of 5 new lots. One of the proposed lots contains an existing dwelling. The property is, in its total form, is 7.35 acres. It's within our agricultural conservation zoning district, and it's located east of Fox Glen Drive, west of Shanks Park, and south of the Wolf Cross subdivision. This plan was presented to the board just 2 days shy of a year ago as a sketch plan, if it feels at all familiar. This project required relief from the zoning hearing board as part of the development because of combining the lots together and then subdividing them in our ag district. The board did grant the relief necessary to allow that. Along with that relief that they granted, they applied a few conditions to the plan. One was that Fox Glen Drive not be continued up to Green Hill Drive, and the other was that the applicant maintain a 100-foot buffer between Walton Croft and this subdivision. Both of these conditions are represented on this plan. The traffic impact for this development will be minimal, approximately 48 total daily trips. This plan proposes to take the existing Fox Glen Drive, which is about 460 feet long, and this terminates at the end, and extend it another 490 feet and terminate it in a compliant cul-de-sac configuration combined with our regulations. The present 40-foot wide right-of-way of Fox Glen Drive will be pushed forward and through up to the cul-de-sac, as will the existing pavement width of 32 feet. Sanitary sewer will be extended about 550 feet, adding three manholes to serve this development. And the trim of that plan, and a public water main will be extended about 215 feet. Extended in 12-inch main, about 250 feet, followed by about 1,035 feet of 8-inch main. It's anticipated that this development will help solve some of the existing issues of drainage in this area. The lands up slope of Fox Glen Drive were subdivided and developed at a time when little stormwater management was required. As a result, stormwater enters this site rather uncontrolled. As part of this development, much of that stormwater will be picked up and routed into a stormwater basin. Although the basin could discharge just at the edge of their property, the applicant, understanding existing erosion problems that are happening along Shanks Park and along the sanitary sewer easement there, have proposed about 570 feet of 24-inch plastic pipe on the township's property within the confines of Shanks Park. This stormwater will ultimately end at an inlet box with an open top, creating an energy dissipator to allow the water to more ooze out and flow out in any destructive manner. From that point, then, it'll pick up into the existing swale where the water from this area goes today. In talking to Matt and Dia, and actually Matt and I walked this site about a year ago taking a look at the stormwater issues, and I think it's fair to say that we probably agree this is the best way to address it. Now, when this plan was presented as a sketch plan, we were thinking that it could be a homeowners association here taking control of this 570 feet of pipe. And, of course, we didn't talk about their intention having a municipal authority to take care of stormwater facilities. Since that time, the developer only developing four new lots is not going to create a homeowners association. It is going to actually have the owners of lots 4 and 5 to care for the basin that they're creating and the pipe, the pipe that's along the property line within that development. They are asking that the township take over or accept dedication of the 570 lineal foot of the 24-inch pipe. I feel that this is a worthwhile effort on both parties' part. I think the developer is going above and beyond in addressing some existing stormwater issues by carrying the water as far as he is. And if you can see on the plan that's on the screen now, this is their stormwater basin. This is the line against Shanks Park. The stormwater, their basin could literally discharge here. From this point, the stormwater kind of meanders inside and outside of Waldencroft, and ultimately ends up down at this point. But there's some erosion through the woods. There's quite a bit of erosion coming along the side of Shanks Park that we believe that this pipe will address. As you can see, they've proposed an inlet. Here, to pick up the water coming down from Waldencroft and carrying it through. So that approval of this plan tonight will include the township, in essence, accepting dedication of that facility.
And that's a buried pipe?
That'll be a buried pipe, 24-inch high-density polyethylene. I think it probably has a buried life of 100 years by rating, but it probably goes on more than that.
Okay, so that if now it appears that it's like a dry creek bed. So that's not a creek?
That's correct.
Okay. It'll go underneath that, what looks like a creek bed.
Yeah. I even pulled up Google Earth here. So we're talking about this line coming down beside Shanks Park. Mm-hmm. And as I come in, you can see that the thread of the water kind of comes in. It comes to be, you know, into the backside of Walton Croft and down through. And you can also see that we have quite a hill there in our way to do much. So their buried pipe will get fairly deep in some spots. Mm-hmm. But you can see what it's going to avoid, what problems it's going to avoid by concentrating and bringing down through. Once it gets to the other side of Shanks Park, it's going to follow this existing draw, this existing kind of large flat swale that comes down along the trail, and it will ultimately cross the trail about at the bend and pick up and head down towards Bullfrog mm-hmm. in the current path. Again, as I said, because this is, you know, say kind of an unusual request. But again, Matt was very conscientious in I think, asking them to provide some means to really take the energy out of the water. So this pipe in profile form, as it comes down a fairly steep hill, as you can see, it's going to enter into a stormwater inlet that the water this inlet will be perforated. It will have 1-inch weep holes in it. It will be surrounded by stones, so some of the water will actually drain into the ground. But during larger storms, it will actually bubble out of this, really taking all the energy, avoiding washout. So I think the applicant's really done a lot in proposing a system that I think will work well for issues.
So just out of curiosity, is this something that you ran by DTMA?
We have not. We have not. Matt and I chatted about it, but no.
Yeah. But this would be something that they would make a call on down the road.
This would likely be one of the facilities that we would dedicate to DTMA. That's correct.
And the calculations for stormwater, they were done assuming that the land could be kept forested. And what range of rainfall would this 24-inch pipe have?
I'm going to turn some of those questions over to Matt.
So the calculations did assume that there would be development for those homes so that the forest there would basically go away. So those calculations took into account. The stormwater management system is designed for the 1 through the 100-year storm event. So that'll handle, the 100-year event will go into the pond, it'll then flow into that pipe and be carried by that 24-inch pipe down without any surcharge. And that's consistent with the ordinance in place today.
So if we have more than a 100-year flood, is it going to run, overload that and just run on through the people's backyards, like downhill from there? Or?
It'll run where it currently runs today, down through that channel. Because there's no, as Chuck said, as the channel goes back off the property, there's no proposed work in that channel right now. So eventually it might fill in with silt, but most likely it's going to stay as is because there's going to be no more water coming down through there. It's going to be all through the pipe.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
With that, I'll move on to the waivers that are requested. If that's okay. They've asked for a handful of waivers, a little standards, a little not so much. Cul-de-sac length. As I mentioned, they're extending Fox Glen Drive. Our permitted cul-de-sac length is 500 feet. This will create a 950-foot long cul-de-sac, but don't see much other way to develop the land and don't see much way to make a connection to that long of a cul-de-sac. The Planning Commission and staff have recommended that waiver. They've asked for a waiver for the number of dwelling units served by a cul-de-sac inside of a development. If you recall, both on Hillchurch Glen, the enclave and in this development, when you're proposing lots only along the cul-de-sac, this waiver is required. Our ordinance was written with the intention that a larger development would be done, and in a larger development, 20% of the lots can be served by a cul-de-sac, but no more. In this case, it's 100%, but we're talking 40 lots. Both Planning Commission and the staff have recommended that that waiver be granted. We need a waiver for cartway width. Again, as I've indicated, the existing cartway is 32 feet. The required cartway width is 34 feet. Part of the reason for the waiver in this case is to allow a sidewalk to be proposed at least along one side of the road. The existing development of Fox Glen Drive and some of the steep slopes really prevent the applicant from providing sidewalk on both sides of Fox Glen Drive. So we've managed to get sidewalk on one side, and that sidewalk will include, and it's actually highlighted pretty boldly on this plan, it'll include a trail easement into Shanks Park. They've asked for waiver of street right-of-way width. Again, the existing width is 40 feet. They're pushing that through to a legitimately sized cul-de-sac. So it's really the 40-foot width that they're asking for. Our ordinance requires 60. They've asked for a waiver of cul-de-sac bulb grade. And again, when you're coming to the end of the cul-de-sac in steep areas, sometimes you can't hold it at 2%. In this case, they've proposed a slope of 5% instead of 2%. And again, Planning Commission and staff have recommended that waiver. They've asked for a waiver for providing street trees within the right-of-way. And what they're proposing is an easement area because of the narrow width, but they are providing the street trees. So again, Planning Commission staff recommend the granting of that waiver. They've asked for a waiver from providing public street lights, which wouldn't be appropriate in this neighborhood. They're proposing lamp posts. They're actually detailed on one of the sheets, but they're proposing basically standard residential lamp posts at the entrance to each of the driveways in lieu of the street light. And we are recommending that that waiver be granted. They're asking for a waiver providing sidewalk on both sides of the street. Here again, they provided on one side of the street. The Planning Commission and staff recommend that the waiver be granted to not require the installation of approximately 245 lineal foot of sidewalk. Normally, or sometimes, we might be looking at a fee in lieu of sidewalk on the other side, but it's just about a wash with the connection that they're providing us to Shanks Park. So in this case, I'm not suggesting that we request that. They've asked for a waiver for the manner in which the sidewalks cross the driveway. We typically like to keep the sidewalk at one level spot behind the curb and then dip the driveway. But again, because of some of the restrictions with slopes on the north side of this development, that's difficult to do, so they're dipping the sidewalk down with the driveways and bringing it back up. We're supportive of that waiver. They've asked for a waiver of providing the park land dedication. They're proposing a fee in lieu of, in this case, the fee would be $5,290.20. That's per our ordinance. They've asked for a waiver of providing all structures, wooded areas, and other features within 200 feet. And contours within 200 feet of the subject site. Quite frankly, they're missing it a little bit at this corner right here. We're suggesting that waiver can be granted. And finally, they're requesting a waiver from showing existing water systems. And this is limited to the existing homes that are along this road. Many of these homes are actually served by on-lot wells, and they didn't want to trespass to find them. They are bringing public water down through their land. These owners will not be required. They will have an opportunity, but they will not be required to tie in public water because it's a water company and not authority. But they've asked for a waiver for not showing the wells that aren't on their property. We're supportive of that. That waiver was asked after the Planning Commission meeting. And I think that's okay. So So with all of that said, I'm ultimately recommending approval of Plat 1268, subject to them reimbursing the township for costs by December 22nd, 2016. The following items happening by May 22 of 2017, the performance security is provided to guarantee the improvements of the full disclosure statement is provided. That general note number 2 is completed, which has to do with some recording yet to be done. That the letter is provided from Dauphin County Conservation District approving the erosion and sediment control. That the NPDES approval is provided. That the fee in lieu of open space for the dedication, open space dedication is provided. That the applicant provide 3 originals of the signed and notarized O&M agreement for lots 4 and 5. That document suitable for recording for the stormwater easement through the township's property is provided for the township's review. That the BMP inventory form is completed. That the revised legal description and exhibits for the right-of-way dedication of Foxconn Drive are submitted to the township for approval. And that the deed of dedication is provided for Foxconn Drive for us to hold until such time as it's built. And finally, that the draft legal description is provided showing that each of the lots will be restricted to being under and subject to an operation and maintenance agreement. And finally, that the agreements regarding stormwater easements over lands of Derry Township are recorded concurrently with the plan, and that the BMP O&M agreement is also recorded concurrently with the plan. That's what I have to say.
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, I thought I had a question.
I couldn't. Really?
So the vegetative cover. So what? And maybe you covered this already. But what's the situation with the trees, and what are the requirements?
So, this property is in our agricultural conservation zoning district, and within that zoning district, we have 50-foot yards required on all sides. Now, you can certainly disturb those. However, as part of the conditions, one of the conditions the Zoning Hearing Board applied is this additional 100-foot rear setback and 50-foot tree preservation easement. So the 50-foot tree preservation easement has a note on here somewhere, I'm going to paraphrase, stating that the trees shall not be removed from that 50-foot area except under normal logging operations or as necessary to remove dead and sick trees. Is that correct, Tim?
And ultimately, just on the side note, that 50-foot easement, we added in addition. The Zoning Hearing Board established the 100-foot building setback off of the rear property line, but we kind of read between the lines that the thought was kind of to preserve the trees, so we needed to put some language on the plan that more or less restricted the tree removal unless they were diseased trees or some, a tree that, you know, could cause damage of some nature.
And, so, and for the record, that's Tim Lott Engineering representing the plans.
That's 100 feet.
The 100-foot buffer. The tree preservation is just the 50-foot.
Got it.
Building setback is 100, which is the up and beyond from the zoning.
Okay, so I'm looking at the notes from the Planning Commission. It talks about one of the residents mentioned something about the plan denoting 25% preservation of the trees. There's a potential. Do you know, he added that both of the existing lots are 100% wooded, and the plan appears to only require about 25% preservation of the trees. Is that what he's referencing?
So our... I'm not sure what he was referencing. Our ordinance allows for the removal of trees only to the point necessary to develop the roads, the utilities, and the buildings on the lot. That's what Woodland Hills faced when they over-cleared their lots. That's during development.
It requires what?
Only the removal of those trees necessary for streets, driveways, utilities, and the building.
Okay.
In other words, under our subdivision and land development ordinance, they couldn't propose to come in and clear cut this. Mm-hmm. Under that. Now, under zoning, however, once the lot's sold for a year, 2, 5, a person can clear their lot if they choose to. under existing zoning. We're trying to, within some areas in our new zoning, put a little bit more restriction on that. However, here on this plan, they've self-inflicted a 50-foot tree easement area to the rear of the lots to preserve the trees. The lots are about 260 feet deep, so that's not a quarter, but it's some. It's,
yeah.
It's above and beyond what an applicant would be required to do.
Yeah, yeah, and that's great. I guess my question is more geared towards us coming across this with Woodland Hills and remembering that we all were in favor of putting more in the saldo that would prevent tree cutting, and whether that's been, you said that there's some things that we put in the comp or the zoning ordinance updates.
So that's correct.
There are some.
Mostly in the Sand Hill area, Sand Hill overlay.
Okay.
I have some draft language for elsewhere, but I haven't run it past the consultant.
Okay.
Ultimately, we were picking up on what we thought and what the intent was, and that's why we went up and beyond to try to establish language on the plan to, to preserve, restrict to the extent possible with that. And just a side note also with the waivers and reduced width, that is intended so we can keep the houses, because the building setbacks come off the right-of-ways and so forth, which pushes us farther in the lot, farther down the hill, which creates more disturbance. So the list of waivers are really all associated with just trying to maintain the same character of the street going down, keeping the houses up as close as possible so they can do their rear exposure and try to make the catch up a grade as soon as possible. Versus getting pushed back farther into the lot, harder to make the grades, there's driveway slope requirements. So the whole plan was geared in these waivers as to keep the impact down to a minimum.
Yeah.
Now again, you never know what someone's going to do within their lot, which is why we added the easement to the rear of and beyond the buffer. And one other side note on the storm sewer shank to Shank Park, there's a sanitary sewer that we paralleled that with as well. So it's running along that. And DTMA, that is your authority, right? Your sewer authority. They did review this plan relative to the sanitary sewer and have approved it as well. So I don't know if they actually looked at the rest of it or not, but they did have the whole plan set, and we give at least a minimum of 10-foot separation, but we thought it would be good to more or less gang utilities together side-by-side parallel from each other. Thank you.
For the purposes of our minutes, if I could ask you just to identify yourself.
Tim Malott, Malott Engineering.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Chuck, will this road and cul-de-sac not be dedicated then?
It will be dedicated.
It will be dedicated.
Yes. Yes, it's public up to this point, and can you see that on the map?
Mm-hmm.
So right now it's dedicated up to that point with really no place for turnaround, snow maintenance, those kind of things.
It's a blunt dead edge.
Right. There's a driveway that meanders on past that. That's enough of it.
And I know we talked about this with the sketch plan, but the sidewalk and the trail, how's that been connected?
So the sidewalk, again, they had very, they had some restrictions, as you can see by the slope. As a matter of fact, when I was zoomed out, you can see the houses. They're actually proposing retaining walls behind the houses to give them some yard area and also to avoid disturbance beyond the building pocket. So you have a decent flat area. But the sidewalk will connect into just dead end at Shanks Park, and so that's where they're taking to. And this is built as an 8-foot wide bike trail. But it'll come into a standard 4-foot wide concrete sidewalk that in this area will be within the street right of way. And then is that close enough? then as we move to the west, it's outside of the street right of way. But within an easement area. So it's going to come down to the full length of what they are proposing as right-of-way dedication and even picking up the rest of the land that they control. So come back out again. They actually control some land that fronts on the existing dedicated road. They're proposing sidewalk along that. At that point, then, they start to get into private property. It's not proposed to continue. However, it's a cul-de-sac road that people walk on now, I think, to get to Shanks Park, so we're going to at least give them some protection and connection.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that is unanimously approved.
Thank you very much.
Next on our agenda is item D, 1 through 7, consideration of a proposal for engineering construction phase services for the West Caracas Avenue parking lot, stormwater BMP project. Mrs. Umbrock.
Thank you. This is for the project. We received a $200,000 grant to go towards construction. As part of that, we included $40,000 in our matching funds of $235,325 for final design, engineering, and construction phase services. So HRG has provided a proposal to finish the design, get us through bidding, and also the construction admin and construction observation. They're proposing a lump sum fee of $40,000, which is, again, in line with what was proposed in the grant application. We're hoping that we can get them started on this. Matt initially indicated it will probably take about 3 months to get to bidding. We're hopeful that because there's no permitting involved that we can expedite that schedule so we're able to go out to bid earlier and get the construction work completed in advance of the 2017 downtown event season. So we're looking for approval of that tonight. Matt's here if you have any specific questions on the proposal. If you do go forward with that, there's also a resolution that I'd be looking for you to pass in conjunction with IRS regulations. Initial matching funds for this project were intended to be through financing, so the resolution would allow us to essentially reimburse the general fund to pay HRG's costs through the general fund, and then reimbursements of financing is secured.
Okay. Are there any questions with regard to this? Hearing none, is there a... Oh, I'm sorry.
So this is a lump sum fee of $40,000 for a $435,000 grant?
Correct. The $435,000 includes the $40,000. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Mr. Eng. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that is unanimously approved. At this point, Mr. Nagle, should I be looking at the resolution or will that come up under another schedule?
I'm sorry?
The resolution that you would refer to?
Yeah.
Should we be considering that tonight?
Yes, please.
Right now. Very good. Are there any? Yeah, do we have a?
I had emailed a copy to you, and Jill has a copy.
What's the resolution?
Resolution number 1491. It is a resolution of the Board of Supervisors of the Township of Derry declaring its intent to reimburse its general fund for amounts paid therefrom for costs of constructing improvements to an existing municipal parking lot owned by the Township with funds received from a tax exempt or other debt financing.
Are there any questions with that? I think you have a question.
No.
How about this? Mr. Yost, you have not seen it.
No.
It's
not very complex, but I have it in my packets probably.
If we're going to approve it, I'm going to say just subject to Mr. Yost's final review.
It was prepared by McNeese, working at...
In conjunction with Lou.
Representing the ICJA or their representative.
Initially, the I'm not sure. Initially,
the township funds we used $40,000 from our reserve.
Yeah,
this resolution is necessary to get the reimbursement if a loan comes in to be paid $40,000 back to the general fund.
I understand the mechanics. I'm just for our security and the legal review. I'm curious who McNeese was representing, but if we just approve it, subject to John's review or.
I only raise the question because we usually have a resolution so the board has a chance to look at it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to make it subject to my review on it at the end of the day, to the period of meetings.
Yeah.
copies are approved.
Okay, so what I'm looking for is a motion.
I'll make that motion to approve the resolution subject to solicitor's review.
Very good.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that's unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is item E1. It's a request from the Hershey New Year's Eve Celebration Committee to hold the New Year's Eve celebration in the square of Hershey on December 31st, 2016. It will continue for an hour or so into January 1, 2017. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The request as stated will involve the closure of some state roadways in and around the square of Hershey, 422 to 743 in that area. So in order to close those roadways, we would need approval by the Board of Supervisors. It will affect some surrounding roadways because of the magnitude of the event. There will be a lot of people there. So the detour routes will involve some other state roadways. The event itself, actually, for us, will be about 13 hours total from the time we start shutting roadways down till the time the event is over. However, the event itself will only be approximately 4 hours. So those are the parameters of the closures and the time involved in the event.
Very good. Are there any questions? Hearing none.
Pretty much the same as last year.
Excuse me?
Pretty much the same as last year.
Yes, yes.
Do you have any? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that request is unanimously approved. Next on the agenda is F1 through 2, adoption of resolution number 1490, renaming Cocoa Avenue as Cookie Avenue on December 5th, 2016, for a period not to exceed 5 days. Chief Warner.
I'm not sure how I got this one.
I'm not either.
But that's okay. Yeah. It just took a little creative typing. So this involves a reveal of a new Hershey's product on December 5th. And they have requested, to coincide with that release of the name of the new product, to rename Cocoa Avenue as Cookie Avenue, assuming that the new product has something to do with the cookie. They would like to rename Cocoa Avenue just for a period not to exceed 5 days. I'm not sure if they'll need that full 5 days, but it won't exceed that 5 days. It'll actually be overlaying a sign on the signpost. They've been in touch with the Public Works Department to get the parameters of what that sign would look like and so forth, so it is in compliance with everything.
Very good. So, I'm hesitant to ask, are there any questions?
I didn't have any before, but now I'm hearing your description made me think. So it will cover up the code.
I think it's going to cover up.
It's not.
I think they were planning on hanging it below.
Yeah, so it's below. So
emergency responders, anybody that's looking for directions and so forth, they'll still be able to see Cocoa Avenue on there.
Yeah.
It'll just hang right below it.
Okay.
And this will just be the name chocolate and cocoa sign.
It'll be out there on the square. They're not going to do anything with the Chocolate Avenue portion, just the Cocoa Avenue.
It'll be chocolate and cookie.
Yeah, chocolate.
There's your sign. Hopefully there are no other questions. Are there any? Hearing none, is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Engel.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that resolution is adopted unanimously. Next, I will move along to the correspondence and board committee information. Mr. Weir.
I have nothing.
And I also have nothing. Mr. Engel. Very good. Report of the departments. Chief Warner.
Nothing additional to report.
Thank you. Mr. DeLello with the Fire Company.
No report.
Mr. Piccolo, Public Works.
No report.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Ellis, the Library.
I'm just going to say we're gearing up for our holiday
programs and such, and I encourage everyone to take a look at our website. We've got things coming up for kids and adults that are entertaining and educational.
Very good. Ms. Lutz, the administration.
I have nothing, thank you.
Mr. Mandia, Parks and Rec.
Nothing, man.
Wow. Okay. Mr. Brown.
I prefer my time with Trevor.
Thank you. There's a fair warning. Mr. Banana with HRG.
No report.
Ms. Elmo. No, Mr.
I have a couple items here. Work continues on the zoning ordinance amendment. I think we discussed that at greater length on the 6th. As far as property maintenance, so far we've registered 13 properties under our foreclosed registration out of 20 that exist today, I believe. We've received about $1,300 under that program. During the month of October, we've issued 35 building permits, 28 zoning permits, we've performed 182 building code inspections, and 74 property maintenance zoning violation inspections. And then, also, the Vista Foundation is looking to establish a group home. A group home is a home that's occupied by four or more people needing assistance. That takes a conditional use hearing under our ordinance. I'm looking to schedule that hearing on January 24th. Everybody okay with that?
Should be.
That's all I have.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Zumbra.
Thank you. I'll just note that the Downtown Hershey Holiday Celebration and Tree Lighting is scheduled for next Friday. That's December 2nd from 6 to 8. Santa will be there. I'll have cookies and cocoa too.
Thank you so much. Mrs. Henry.
I have nothing to report. Thank you.
Mr. Bagley. Wow. Okay, next on.
Chuck, were we not going to discuss the zoning ordinance?
We certainly can.
Think direction.
Yeah.
Yes. I can jump in. It's pretty simple. I think there were enough modifications that were being requested. We're asking that that be sent back for.
Back up to flagpoles.
Yes. Back up the flagpoles.
Go back through
and
the county.
My hope is we're limiting it to that list of, and I don't recall the exact number, 6 or 7 modifications that we were looking at to run back through the county and.
There is a PDF that was circulated.
Correct.
In which we tried to incorporate all the comments from public meetings, from letters, from Board of Supervisors comments, and from staff, because we're still, you know, as we use it and touch it, there's things that could be done a little bit better.
Okay. So do I understand correctly, just by addressing this tonight, we've saved a week, right?
A month.
We saved a month.
Saved a month.
Okay. So whatever we can do to save weeks and months to keep the process going.
Tonight we saved a month.
Okay.
Over what we would discuss on the 6th.
Okay.
Can and you I appreciate get to Hartley?
Does this mean that the Gateway West is a dead issue? Is it the rezoning of the Gateway West?
No.
No. No. I think that discussion can actually happen maybe a little bit more on the 6th. What we really needed tonight was to start adjusting everything else and to know the path, to know that we're not going to try and hold on to what we've already taken to the public hearing. That was very important.
Tonight is a recognition that the document that was created at the beginning of September is not going to be brought forward for adoption.
That's correct.
That we're pulling it back and making revisions and sending it through the process.
That's correct.
Which will yield.
The additional public hearing. Yeah, so the ordinance will take the same path that the existing one did. So at a point in time, thank you, Chris. We have a tentative schedule where on or about December 20th, we'd be transmitting this to the County and Township Planning Commission. We'd be coming to a Board of Supervisors. I'm sorry, we've been doing a Planning Commission meeting February 7th, Board of Supervisors, public hearing hopefully February 28th, and then we could schedule adoption after that. So that's kind of the timeline.
And there's no way to schedule adoption the same night as the public hearing?
We could.
Okay.
We could.
Let's look at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
there anything else? Very well. Moving along, next on our agenda is the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $1,497,848.25 and payroll in the amount of $346,654.02. Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that approval is unanimously approved.
Just a comment from Jim. John Yost, do we need to take a vote on the direction we just took with the zoning ordinance? Pulling it back first.
Is that directional or?
Well, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah,
I think it's on the record pretty clear. Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, for the purposes of clarity, I'm entertaining a motion to direct the Community Economic Development, I'm sorry, Chuck Emmerich, to withdraw the current zoning language to make the modifications that have been done in workshop, if you will, and restart that process. Is there a...
Does that work?
That's, yeah.
I mean, it might have been ugly, but it got it done. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that is unanimously approved.
Thank you.
Finally, our last visitor in public comment. Seeing none. Very good. This is, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. However, I wish everyone a very happy and safe Thanksgiving holiday. And with that, we are adjourned.